Hello, everybody, and welcome to That Millennial Life. My name is Joe Cole, and this is my podcast where I talk to millennials about their lives and how they are managing young adulthood. That was actually the first time I ever did that whole thing that I just said without having it in front of me. I just, off the dome, baby. Off the dome. But I'm going to make this a short intro because I'm running a bit late out of time. I have to still edit the conversation. I didn't have a lot of time this week to do it. The conversation that I had is with my friend Kev McMichael. Kev McMichael is my friend from town, Pequannock, New Jersey. And you'll hear in the conversation, he was one of the first creative friends that I had. We made a lot of videos together, and I wanted to get him on the podcast for a while. I'm sorry. I want to say that I'm sorry I haven't been completely consistent with the podcast for anyone who listens to it regularly. I didn't put one out last week, and then the week before was Stav interviewing me, and then I hadn't released one before that for 2 weeks. It's been hard to find guests because a lot of the guests that I wrote down from the start about people who I knew would be interested and who I'd like to have on, that list is starting to come down to only a few people. So now I have to start finding some more people that maybe I don't know as well to be on the podcast. So I'm starting to reach out to some other people who maybe I've said before, maybe have a little bit more of a public stature. But those people are hard to come by because if they're more known, then that means they have more opportunities. And this podcast isn't necessarily super popular, but I'm hoping I can interview some more people. I'm interviewing some people in a few days from my improv classes that I took at UCB, which is why I've been so busy. I just had a performance today for my class. But yeah, look out for that. I'm excited to have some more creative people on soon. But today I'm talking to Kev McMichael, and he's just working, saving up some money, and it was cool to finally get him on. So I hope you enjoy my conversation with my friend Kevin McMichael. Listen to any radio?
Like, not.
Do you listen to any podcasts?
No, I listen to NPR. I mean,
you listen to NPR?
Yeah.
Get on the mic.
Sorry. Are we going now?
You listen to NPR?
Yeah.
What do you listen to?
on the way to work, and on the way home from work, I'll put it on because I hate the music on the radio. It's like the same four songs.
Right. All right. So the thing I wanted to say to you from the start is like, there's a weird thing of like when, so I'm sitting with Kev McMichael, who's a friend of mine from home. We'll get more into who he is later. You all right? Don't choke. Oh God.
I'm really nervous.
You're nervous? Why are you nervous? Just pretend like the microphones aren't here.
But they're clearly here.
We're just having conversation, but they're clearly here. Just having a conversation. But the thing I wanted to say is, like, I like when... So I'm doing... We're recording this at Kev's house, but I like when people come over to my house to record because usually I'll hit the record button, like, as I see they're pulling up. So we'll walk in. This is a trick I learned from Mark Maron, who we were just talking about. We'll just walk in, and I'll pretend like we didn't even start, and they don't even know we started it, and it's a more natural easing into it.
It's authentic.
Whereas now, like, you just heard... You laughed when I started... getting into quote-unquote show mode because you hint, you like felt like a sense of like me changing, like some type of, it was kind of like unauthentic, like a my voice maybe changed, maybe I seemed more interested in you than I would be normally. I'm asking questions.
You are. And I said the gaze you shot my way gave it away, the show mode.
What I just gave you, I had a change in my look.
Your stare towards me, yeah. It was much more intent.
So do you... NPR really is the best because they're the most neutral news
they
outlet.
They say that, but a lot of
they still
stuff,
are a little left-leaning.
But they
do a good job, I think.
I really like them for the no commercials.
Right.
It's great.
Quick commercials, little...
Yeah, but they're like...
and they have good jazz music in the background.
Yes. So, yeah, I mean...
Do you do you do that because you're trying to stay up? Are you a person who tries to stay like knowledgeable about what's politically happening in the world?
Yeah, I'd like to try to. I mean, I'm still dumb.
Yeah.
I just want to know what's going on, and I'd rather listen to that than Mike Francesa talk about some stupid bullshit.
Who?
Mike Francesa.
Who's that?
He's on WFAN. Mm. He's on the evening show.
For NPR?
No. This is sports.
Like that's why it sounds like a sports name.
Yeah. But either that or it's like the same Chris Brown song that I've heard 30 other times. Like that I know every
that
word
Drake.
To, and I've never downloaded the song. Mm. It's just overplayed. Yeah. If you want to listen to the Drake or Rihanna, you put on either the...
They literally are never not on.
Yeah. It pisses me off when you change the... station and the same damn song is playing on two stations. Like they don't talk to each other.
They don't talk to each other.
They don't know. They don't have like someone keeping tabs on their competition to say like, hey, they're playing this.
Those are just on a random loop.
Oh, it's random.
Yeah, I would.
From what I understand, the artists have a company that they pay that puts the songs on. I'm not too sure, but they pay the stations to play those songs.
The artists pay the station.
Pay the, I don't know, something like that.
But the artists have to
again,
get paid
know very
for
little.
Take everything you say with a brand of great assault. What were you talking about before? NPR. Oh, staying up to date with what's going on. Is it the thing? Is it just, has that been a recent thing because of the presidential election or is it?
No, it started in college, I'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely starting in college because you don't want to just walk around and not know, what's happening.
What percentage of the things you say in conversation about stuff like that is just things you heard other people say that you thought sounded smart? Because that's me.
I guess some, like what my professors tell me.
I'm saying like, I'm a person, I listen to a lot of podcasts. I listen to a lot of interviews.
Okay.
So like anytime I hear something, like most of what I say, not even politically, like most of what I say is just stuff I heard from someone else.
A different podcast or something like
that?
Or
just like any in life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't... Because
I've talked about that a lot before, is that like, how do you... When do you ever get to have your own...
I heard that on one of your podcasts.
Original ideas about thing, or is it just you just copying everything you've heard that you... Do you find yourself doing that? Just like taking people's ideas and just adopting them as your own?
I wouldn't say they're my own, I guess. I try not to.
Yeah.
But I don't keep tabs on regurgitating information. I guess maybe I should.
Even if
now.
It's just like a Louis C.K. line that just like works in the conversation I'm in, I'll just like sprout that off and like no one will know that it. That's, I guess, plagiarism.
He's got a show coming up in around here soon.
I just saw him.
Oh, really?
I haven't done a podcast since then either.
Was it good?
It was amazing.
Yeah.
I saw him in Forest Hills, Queens, Forest Hills Stadium. It was an outdoor arena.
Wow.
Chris Gethard and Todd Barry opened for him.
Not familiar.
And Ari Spears.
Oh, familiar with Ari Spears.
I think it was Ari
Spears.
Ari Spears, yeah. I think it was him. Oh, it was amazing. Maybe his best hour. But I'd never seen him live, and he's like my favorite creative person.
Louis?
Oh, my God.
He's funny.
Yeah.
I enjoy him.
Yeah.
I enjoy his comedy.
Where did you say you heard him? You heard?
I heard he was coming around here.
I'm seeing him again.
At least in the metro area.
Yeah.
He's coming around.
I'm seeing him at MSG in September.
I like how he sells his tickets direct.
Yes.
He cuts the bullshit out.
He is a big... He has been lauded in the entertainment industry as someone who's kind of innovated the way in which he sells tickets to people and just offers his own content to people.
It just makes you like him more.
Doesn't go through Ticketmaster, or maybe he does, but it's just like,
I don't think he... I thought he just sold it off his website.
It's right through his website, yeah.
And maybe you can get tickets from the secondary market.
Right, Ticketmaster.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah. He also did a thing for... Oh, he did a thing for... He came out with a stand-up album, an audio album from when he performed Madison Square Garden last year, but it was a lot of the same material from his Live at the Comedy Store stand-up special. And he was like, it's all the same material, but just like a different performance, so it's like a little different, and I feel bad making people buy it. So he did a thing where he's like, you just set the price. If you want to pay $500, you can pay $500. I gave him a dollar.
Did you?
Yeah.
I would have given him a penny.
You would have given him a penny?
Just because I could.
That's what it's worth. So, speaking of current things that are happening politically, you can't sit that back.
I have to stretch this back.
What's wrong with your back?
I sit all day, man. It sucks.
Where do you sit all day?
At work.
Where do you work?
State Street Bank.
Where's that?
Headquartered in Boston, but my office is in Clifton. They also have offices. They have offices all over the world.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm sitting most of the day. I do have a standing desk, though. I guess I failed to utilize
it. I've heard of those being...
It's all right, but like you get out and then your feet start to hurt because the shoes you're wearing aren't really like meant to stand
in. Maybe you should get some better shoes. I've also heard of the treadmill desk. Have you heard of the treadmill
desk? I've never seen it. That's a big thing. It's like the Loch Ness Monster.
No one really knows what it's like. Yeah,
everyone's heard of it, but no one really understands how it works.
I would just sweat on my shit, I think. How fast can you really run while
I don't even know how it's set up. I don't even
get it. I think it's just like, you know where all the controls are normally on a treadmill? I think that's just a desk.
That's just
a area for you to put stuff on.
I don't think I'd be able to like read anything if I was walking.
Maybe if people walk.
Yeah, but even that, your head's like up and down. I don't know.
I guess we'd have to try it out.
I guess some people.
So do you like your work?
Yeah, I mean,
are you only saying that because you're saying it publicly?
It's got its ups and downs.
Yeah. What is a normal day? It's definitely what were you saying? I cut people off all the time.
You do. Now you got me thinking of a normal day. It's definitely mundane. I guess I would say, but it's very interesting because I had to see all different types of institutional investors and what they're putting their money in. It's like billions of dollars that some of the investors put in.
What can you explain to me more what you do? I don't know anything.
I forgot. So I'm a private equity fund administrator. It's pretty much like a fund accountant.
Right.
So private equity, the average person doesn't have enough to invest unless you're a high net worth individual, which is like close to a billionaire.
Right.
So you don't have people investing in it. What you have is like retirement funds investing and off the top of my head, I can't think of anything else. But
so people just rich people investing. See, this is where I say I'm doomed. I'm a doomed person because I have no idea anything you just
so
said.
Like one of my things,
I was never given that knowledge from God damn you, Dad. Come on, man. Private.
Well, one of the investors is
investor
and one of them is like a public employees retirement system.
Right.
So that they invest into a fund which invests. Then in turn into another fund, which invests in like four or five funds, and those funds invest in other funds all the way down.
So the big
it's very
short.
Confusing, more or less. Yeah, it's kind of.
Is there
it feels
anything
like a
nefarious
scheme.
Going on? Yeah, is there anything?
No, it's audited pretty heavily.
Yeah,
the reason my job exists is because of Bernie Madoff, actually.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, you have to if you're.
I need to know
if you're
more
a fund.
About all of that.
Yeah, you need to. Hire an administrator so the guys can like match the numbers up so there's no like
if you're a what
books. If you're like say you're a fund like you're an equity fund
right
you have to hire an administrator and you pretty much send them all the information you're getting and at the end of the day both parties look at their numbers and kind of like sort out the differences what's what and then the auditors look at both books to make sure everything's good all that information gets funneled into like financial statements.
Thank God Bernie Madoff existed.
Yeah, and I just put your whole audience to sleep with that.
No, it's not dull. It's not boring. No, but see, this is the thing. It's like, I'm a type of person, I don't know if I've even said this on the podcast before, but I've said it to like my mom before,
right.
Is that I wish I could just do that. I wish I could be a person who could just, well, like, that sounds pretentious. Like, that sounds like... I'm above that, but right. I'm not. It's just not my skill set. Like, I wish I had a skill set. I wish I didn't have a skill set that would make me think that I could succeed in something like this, or interest in stuff that make me want to succeed in stuff like this, and that I could just sit in an office all day and be like, well, I got nothing else. But the reason I say that is because you don't have nothing else.
What do you rephrase that? I lost you there. What do you mean? I don't.
I'm saying, like, I'm a person who is seeking to work in creative things.
Right, right.
But if I didn't have those
aspirations
or like skill sets,
right,
somewhat, uh-huh, toot my own horn, that go along with someone who thinks they could do work like that. I'm saying if I didn't have those and just was like good with numbers,
mm-hmm,
I wouldn't care about not doing what I want to do now. So I'm saying, it was like, I wish I could just do a job that was monotonous and had a routine and I could just make my way up the ladder and, mm-hmm, eventually earn a decent living.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I want to do something that's fucking random and you're out of work 1 year and not the next year. But yeah, the thing I'm saying is, you are a person who has done creative things with me.
Right.
And has those tendencies or those aspirations or did.
The creative itch.
Yes.
You were.
Does that ever in the back of your mind while you're playing
time
with numbers?
And all the time. I mean, it's not a job. It's a great starting point.
Right.
A job. It's not. I don't see myself there for, you know, for like 20 years.
Right. Right.
But, I kind of dug myself. I got student loans I had to pay and
stacking up the cheddar now.
So I'm just trying to save up some capital and then the fun will start. But I hear everyone on your podcast, they all kind of know what they want to do more or less.
No.
Am I talking too close or too?
No. Oh. I constantly am switching. Okay. Don't worry about what
you
I should
have told me that before we started.
No, sorry. I like how you gave me water in a mason jar.
I'm surprised people aren't drinking out of mason jars.
It's quite, yeah, quite the experience. I'm going to do it again.
McMason jar.
So are you ever hating yourself there and just like, did you ever in college? Well, let's go back. Let's go back.
Let's go back.
Let's go back to high school.
Right.
Right? When we made some videos together.
Uh-huh.
See, I don't know if this is going to sound, I can't put this in a not weird way.
Okay.
But I don't know if you fully comprehend how important you are to me.
That's definitely sounds weird.
And how much you mean to me because, you know, thing I've heard a lot of people talk about is finding a friend who is interested in similar things as you. And I was always the kid in a group of athlete friends who had more creative tendencies and aspirations and did that kind of other stuff, but really didn't have a chance to explore that other side of myself with another person. It was kind of just like on my own time. But then when you started making videos, I was like, yeah, fuck yeah.
Let's go.
When did you start? What was the first video you made and why did you start making them?
I made videos when I was like real young. I don't know. I always just liked film. I always liked acting. It came kind of natural to me, I felt.
You are a good actor.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm. The Hamlet video?
Yeah, that I actually watched that pretty recently.
Yeah.
I was like, well, all right, it's pretty good.
So the first video I saw was what, the one with you and Pete? Not?
Well, you, we had Sims class together, didn't we?
Mm-hmm. But that was later. That was senior year.
Oh.
You made that one video with Pete.
The chicken nugget rap? Is that the
no,
one?
No, no way. The first one, before even the basketball one. I forget what it even was.
Is it a funk walk?
No, but that was hilarious. Explain what the funk walk was.
It's just pretty much...
was that song?
Superstitious by...
Stevie Wonder.
Stevie Wonder, thank you. It was just pretty much Pete walks out my front door.
You and Pete Stavala. Pete Stavala is one of your good friends.
Yeah, Pete Stavala and Mike Duffy, who's been mentioned on this show before.
Has he?
He has, in the Mr. Brady one.
Oh, yeah. He was, yeah.
So, I don't know. We were just kind of fucking around and we're like, all right, Pete, let's just like have you walk out. He walks outside and we like decide we're going to play Superstitious. And he just does this walk and it just gets slowly out of hand. He goes and gets Mike Duffy and we just start walking. And then I think if I remember correctly, at the end, the music just cuts out and we just like walk off screen.
So it was literally just you walking,
yeah,
in a funky way.
Right. To the bow, 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 bow. So like, I don't know, his like shoulders would dip.
But then the one we made was...
Is this the lunch one?
Yeah, that was... So we made videos recreationally as well as for class.
Right.
the recreational one was Joe and Kev go to lunch when we went to McDonald's.
I hear there's a sequel in works for that one.
We should make a sequel. We should make a sequel. I think we were probably we probably did a better job than we would be able to now.
I don't know.
Because you think? Well, like
we could have a joke with your weight.
Yeah.
Like you wake up in somewhere.
Yeah.
Joe, you haven't eaten in like 4 years.
I haven't gone to McDonald's since. Because, yeah, the video is literally like me calling Kev one morning when I wake up and asking him to bring me to McDonald's because I didn't have a car at the time
and
or
I
drove.
I was sleeping in my car.
And you were sleeping in your car in Greenview Park.
For whatever reason.
And I guess in the video, the reason was that your mom kicked you out of the house.
Yeah. Something like that.
And then there was a thing I remember. This was one of those moments where I realized, like, maybe I have a funny, weird mind. I can do stuff like this, where you drove home. So we were filming the scene where you were driving from where you woke up to come pick me up to bring me to lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And I was filming you driving and you pulling up to my driveway. And you improvised this little quick thing where you said, "Hey, I'm here. All right, see ya." Like, real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, like, a little beat between, "Yo, I'm here," and "All right, see ya." And I immediately thought something should go in between those two. And I thought, you said, "All right, see you," in such like a normal way, as if like everything was okay. So it would be funny if you said that to something that was not normal.
Right. It was over the top.
Yeah. So you said, I came up with the idea for me to be like, "All right, hold on, I'm naked."
Yeah.
So when you said, "All right, yo, I'm here," it cut to me in my bed without any clothes on from the waist down, saying, "All right, hold on."
And you said, if I remember correctly, is Consuelo is cleaning my house or something?
Yeah, later. So then,
and then you were like, "Muff said."
Yeah. The rest of the video was literally we taped the camera to the front of the dashboard and just drove
to me. That was what? That was masking tape or duct tape?
Duct tape. Yeah.
Wow.
And we just drove to McDonald's and improvised like a whole, just talked and improvised like whole thing.
It's like if MacGyver were to make a short.
Yeah. And you just cut it. I think you just cut it up to like 10 minutes, like found the funniest stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, one of the things was, I don't even think that made it into the video. I think that was one of the outtakes that you said, "So why were you naked before?" I said, I heard my Spanish cleaning lady vacuuming in the other room. It got me going a little.
Muff said.
Yeah, Muff said.
I almost got in a car accident in that one.
Yeah, and then we almost died at the end.
No, it was on the way there.
Oh, really? I thought it was bring me home.
No, because I think it was like in Rita's or something.
You almost got us killed.
I made a wrong turn.
Yeah. But what is it? So the reason I bring it up is, what were some of those jokes that you remember that you think, because I remember you said you watched that recently. What were some of those jokes that you thought still held up? Do you remember off
the No, it's just the fact, the way that it was cut and the way the punchlines fell.
Yeah.
Were just, I felt like it was, they were over, it was like, made us look more talented, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was just, I think it was just dumb luck.
I'm trying to think of, you're the one with, we were talking about favorite celebrities, just randomly.
Yeah.
And you started going off about Britney Spears.
Yeah, do you don't want to show your business or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it's not probably as not entertaining to listeners to hear us just reminisce about.
They're having a great time.
Yeah. But so then the Holy Grail, Bank of Naked Cheese.
Also mentioned on this show prior.
Me and Brady talked about that.
That was a good one.
Mm-hmm. We got to make a sequel.
Diffin always talks about making a second one.
Yeah, never.
Like, I get a text every day from him. Like, I have an idea for Banking 2.
I think we explained in Mr. Brady's podcast that the Bank and Egg and Cheese video was you guys played, four of you played bankers, and we had a bank called Bank and Egg and Cheese, and they were just like little skits that all kind of tied together.
Mm-hmm. The way Mr. Brady broke it down, I was cracking up.
Yeah.
Because like it was just such a critical review of like a high school project.
Dude, some of those jokes still hold up too.
Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But so I remember I remember in high school I was upset that you decided not to major in that and you did marketing.
No, incorrect. I did accounting.
Oh, you did accounting?
Yeah.
You were going to do marketing though, I remember. Or I wouldn't have
originally. Originally, yeah, it was an idea. Yeah, well, I got an opportunity to play college lacrosse in Boston, and it was like I got a pretty good scholarship to go up there.
Yeah.
And it was great, but they didn't have any kind of like TV. Like for me to major in film at that school would have been an awful idea because it's way too expensive to do that, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that a film degree is not worth it. It's just like I'm not going to pay that kind of money for, you know, nothing specialized. Like right, I got out of school with an accounting degree. I got a job, which is great and everything. Mm-hmm.
Where'd you go to school?
So I went to Emmanuel College in Boston, Massachusetts.
Emmanuel?
Yeah. Emmanuel. Small God college is with in us. Boston? Small college, 2000 undergrad.
What was that place like?
It was wild.
Why was it wild? I want to hear some stories.
I was up there for a lot of big events of the city.
The Pats winning?
No, the Giants beating the Pats, actually.
Right, and that's why there was like a crazy...
They had the whole city on lockdown because they thought there was going to be riots because they thought the Patriots were going to win. They barricaded Kenmore Square, which is, if you're ever there, it's the big Sitco sign.
Right.
Right next to Fenway Park. Right. They barricaded that in. They closed off our campus just because they were like preparing for this riot, and nobody was on the street when the Giants won. And
really?
I was so amped.
Were you on the street?
Oh, of course. I was screaming.
How did you have the courage to do that? I would have fucking... People Is Boston say, all talk?
They're all talk. Well, some areas, I mean, all cities, it was rough. Yeah, but for the most part, it's pretty soft.
What's the town area?
The town? That's Charlestown.
Charlestown.
That's like way north. I was in more like the heart of the city, I would say.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So
I was up there for the Boston bombing, too.
Oh, wow.
That's a crazy story.
Yeah, why?
My cousin was running in the marathon.
Yeah.
And I had my hand was broken, so I had a cast.
Mm. And, how'd you do that?
Lacrosse. I ran into some big dude, and he just pretty much ran right over me.
Wow.
Broke two bones, so I had to get a plate and screws.
Scar?
Yeah, it's a scar. So anyway, I was walking there, and I was meeting my aunt and my uncle and my cousin for like lunch after he had finished the race.
Mm.
And I'm walking up there, and there's the road where you can go either go left and go straight, and the finish line's right there. It's right in Copley Square. But there was a point where you can make a right and avoid the whole crowdedness.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, like it was maybe a split second decision, but I processed it and I was like, well, I can go to the finish line, you know, experience that, see everything. Or I can like meet my family on time and go right and go get food on time. So I'm convinced had I went left, I would have seen the bombs, and I don't think I would have been near where they were, but I would definitely have seen the carnage. Another kid on my lacrosse team actually saw it. He was right down there, right by the finish line. But anyway, I made the right, so I avoided all the crowdedness by the, is that a word, crowdedness?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I hope
avoided
so.
All avoided the crowds to the left, which was the finish line.
Mm-hmm.
Made a right, went to, I believe it was the Westin in Copley Square, which is about a block away.
Mm-hmm.
It was either Westin or Sheraton. It was one of the hotels up there, right? It was like a block,
block and
a half away from the finish line. And I remember because I was drinking that day because that's a big party day up in Boston.
Mm.
It's called Patriots Day.
That's the only
reason
you were drinking?
The whole city shuts down.
Because everyone else was?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was trying to insinuate that even if it wasn't a big party day, you probably would have been drinking.
No, I was in season then, so probably not drinking. But
behaving?
Yes. Well, I mean, I had the broken hand, so I was probably...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, all the other teammates weren't drinking, but...
Yeah.
So I was drinking. And
were you drunk?
I was tipsy, definitely, because I remember looking down at my plate and eating.
Yeah.
Right before we found out there was a bomb. And I'm like, wow, I'm kind of drunk.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden we see all these people around in the restaurant staring at a TV.
Yeah.
And then we're like, what the heck? And we look up and...
Wait, so who are you with at this point?
I was with my aunt, my uncle, my cousin, and his girlfriend.
So the cousin had finished the race?
Yeah, he had finished it, and we looked up and we saw it on the TV screen and we're like, holy shit. Like, and that was, it was scary afterwards because you weren't, no one really knew what was going on. You couldn't get on your phone. They shut down cell service.
No way. I didn't know that.
No, on your phone. And then I was just like, look, I don't know. Like, I don't know if this is rigged, an attack at the time. You had no idea.
Yeah.
There could be a bomb in this building for all I know.
Yeah.
Could be a calculated attack, but it wasn't, thankfully. But it was just like the fear that had the whole city gripped was something to note.
How long did that last?
That lasted until they figured out it was those two goons that actually dropped it.
Fucking goons.
Fucking goons. It was wild, too. The chase that got the one Sarnab brother, the older guy that killed him, and his younger brother.
Yeah.
That was a town away from where my... like our town bordered the town that he was in, which is Watertown. I was in Alston.
Right.
And I heard all the cop cars like flying to Watertown. It was like there was no one on the streets. Everyone had to stay inside. It was wild.
What was it like? Well, that day, I'm sure it was just like kind of what it was like here after 9/11, or it's just like, low key just talking. But like, what was like kind of the spirit of the city like weeks following that? Was like a notable shift in tone of the city, of like people there, or was it just like back to normal?
I would say it was kind of scary the days after, because if I remember correctly, he was on the run for two or three
days.
So those 3 days were weird because
they found him in like the boat in someone's backyard or
he was hiding out. But that was weird because you're like, this dude just blew up a bomb and he's just among us.
Mm-hmm.
No one has any idea.
Yeah, that, yes.
And I was talking to my father.
I remember thinking that, like, he's just somewhere around.
He's just chilling.
Yeah.
And he just like...
So you're talking to your dad?
Oh, yeah, I was talking to my father and he's like, well, you know, someone's going to see him, like all those people. And I'm thinking, well, I thought about it for a while. I'm like, I saw so many people in the course of one day that if you asked me to point out one person, I'd be like, I have no idea.
Yeah.
So hiding in plain sight.
Yeah.
I guess helped him.
But he wasn't. He was hiding in a boat.
He's hiding in a boat. That was wild.
He was like our age.
It's like GTA, yeah.
I remember reading like an article about him after and like saying that he liked hip hop, Game of Thrones, and like The Walking Dead, and I was that sounds a lot like me.
All of his friends said he was pretty normal.
Yeah,
the younger one at least, but I don't know.
Yeah,
we'll never know.
So, but like right after business as usual, kind of like did it
more or less. There was like a Boston Strong initiative, around like that. That usually like happens following any kind of disaster, but
yeah,
I mean, it didn't take too long for that city to get back normal from what I could tell. I was also preoccupied with like finals and lacrosse school at the time.
Kind of in your own world.
Yeah. So we were in that little bubble.
Yeah. Is Boston, did you like Boston?
I love the city.
Yeah.
The city.
Why do you like it? If you had to sell someone on Boston.
It's a small town feel.
Yeah.
Really small town feel, but like it's a major US city.
Yeah.
The person who builds buildings.
Architect.
And architecturally.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Each neighborhood has its own style building.
Mm.
You'll notice. The people there are, for the most part, good. But we have the Northeast, like, don't talk to me if I don't know you. Because I know people from like one of my roommates was from Wisconsin.
Yeah,
and he was like, yeah, like people out here, they have their head down, no one's talking.
Oh yeah. I've talked about that on the podcast with my friend Soren Janssen, who was on the hockey team at Quinnipiac, and he traveled all around. He said that he spent a lot of time in the Midwest, and then people would just come up to him.
Yeah, like if someone came up to me, I said, "What the hell?
What's wrong with you? What do you want from me?"
Throw some change at him.
And yeah, there it's just like people being friendly. But
yeah, Boston's cool. It's has a lot to offer.
Mm-hmm.
Gets really cold.
Yeah,
I was up there for the most snow Boston has ever had in recorded history.
Wow.
Think about that. That's crazy. They still had snow in June.
When was this?
The really bad. Remember Snowmageddon?
Yes. That happened bad in Connecticut, where I was too.
It happened bad in Boston too. It missed New York, apparently.
Yeah.
But that's that winter. I don't know what year it was.
That might have been sophomore or junior year of college.
Yeah, I think junior. That was cool. The whole city shut down for a while too for that.
Why? Just because.
There's nowhere to put snow. They run out of places to put snow, and the T had to borrow a New York City snow clearer for the T tracks. The T is the subway.
You don't think about that when you're shoveling, you're just putting snow in other places. You're not getting rid of the snow.
Yeah, you don't get rid of it.
You're just reallocating it. There is nowhere to put any more snow. Everywhere else, people are there. There's nowhere we can put it.
They started putting it in the Charles, too, and all the environmentalists got mad. Yeah, the River Charles.
Did you adopt a little bit of an accent at all when you were there?
No, I didn't, but my New Jersey accent, I kind of tamed it. It's apparently had a pretty strong one going up, which I didn't think so.
Walk. Yeah.
So you walked.
Why, did people point it out?
Oh, yeah. I was like, one of three from New Jersey in that school.
Yeah. Most people from Boston.
From Massachusetts.
Yeah.
But then we get people from California, from, you know, Asia.
Huh. Yeah, people just want to be in Boston, yeah, I guess.
It's a cool place.
That's cool, man. So when college was ending, what did you think? How did you think you'd be? This is a question I asked everyone pretty much. Actually, not everyone, but how did you think you would emotionally handle being out of college? Were you like,
I didn't want to leave. I was like, wow, that's 4 years.
You wanted to stay.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Because there's people who say like, yeah, I mean, like, it would be awesome to stay, but like, I was ready to move on.
You know, I had that feeling too, but
could you have just drank and been a belligerent for the?
I mean,
year?
That's the thing in Boston. People didn't. I mean, people drank, but like, it wasn't like how I imagined it would be.
What do you mean?
There was more like, I don't know if it was because I was commuting like 2 miles to school, or if I was playing lacrosse, if that had anything to do with it. But I just felt like I was doing more work than I had thought I'd done, which sounds, I guess, dumb.
You were doing more work than you thought you would be doing unless
right
drinking.
Right.
Well, that's good.
However that makes me sound, I don't know.
I mean, it makes you sound like you were just ready to go to college.
Yeah, I was.
So
but
what,
no,
people
cool.
aren't like as, like people aren't as like, because you hear Boston, you think a lot of like Irish.
Punch out. No, there's not.
Is there the masculinity, weird racismness to the city?
There is definitely a lot more fights between people up there.
Yeah.
Like they're quick to throw fists.
Yeah, wow.
I was like, Jesus.
It's just like over nothing, or is it like, do they
just get drinking too much and someone says something and then it's on all
right
of a sudden.
So something that someone would just like be like, all right, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I'm not a fighter, I'm a lover, so I always steer clear of that.
I'm not a fighter, I'm a pussy.
That's
what I would say.
You just deciphered what I just said.
There's times where literally a fight totally could happen where I would just like, no, I don't wanna.
It's not worth it.
So not worth it.
But the bars up there, they close at 1:30.
That's early.
That's early.
Compared to New York.
That means like last call is like 1, and that's on a weekend. I was just up there a couple weeks ago. I wanted to go to a bar. It was actually a Monday night, and it was 11:30. All the bars were closed. 11:30.
On a weekday, yeah.
It was a Monday, but you'd think that at least one would be open.
Why were you there on a weekday on a Monday?
I took 2 days off. My buddy from, my roommate from Indianapolis was in Boston, so I went and saw him.
So you said you like Boston when it came down to what was going to happen after college.
I wanted to stay in Boston.
Yeah,
I definitely did.
But you couldn't because of money.
I got a job up there at State Street, but it didn't pay enough, and it didn't make sense for me to like. Why wouldn't I just move home when I could like not pay rent?
Mm-hmm.
Let's pay off my debt for a little bit.
Did you? How's adjusting to being back in the place where you grew up?
Took some adjustment, definitely.
Mm. From like, all right, so this is, I guess, the question I have. From coming home from school to now, like, what has been the biggest worry, constant? Has there been any constant worry or constant, like, anxiousness of where you are and, like, what you're
from
doing?
From the parents?
Or just anything.
From of, like, oh, what am I doing, like, personally?
Yes.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. I think it's natural to think that, but, I think I'm in a pretty good situation compared to what I could be in.
Because I just sometimes I'm like, this person's already doing this, and I'm here, and I just
compare
myself to other people.
I was listening to Gilmo's, and I was like, Jesus, I made some wrong decisions in my life, dude.
He's going to Columbia grad school.
Good for him. Good
update, because he talked about in the podcast that he was.
Oh, I didn't get to finish
applying to grad school. That was one of the ones he said he was interested in. He's back now. He just got back this week.
Is he living home now?
Yeah, good until. He goes back to school.
That's cool.
For 2 years, he has shit
set. It was interesting to see which countries are more stable compared to what the media paints them as.
Like Jordan is fine.
Yeah.
Even though it's like smack dab in the Middle East.
Right.
Middle of the middle. Middle of the Middle East.
Yeah, center of the middle.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, see, it's I get jealous. I compare myself to people too, and then I'm like,
we're all dying anyway.
In 1,000 years, it's like none of this has ever even happened.
I drum now.
You drum?
Yeah, you didn't see my set down there?
No.
You walked by it.
I did.
Yeah.
You're taking up drumming.
I started in college.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to have to hear some stuff later.
Yeah, so my roommate had an electronic set.
Mm-hmm.
And him and my other buddy would come over. My one buddy was a real good bassist, and he was pretty good guitarist. And I kind of was just like, all right, like, I'll try it out. And I got it pretty quick. I never really get things that quick.
So how did you learn? From, like, YouTube? Or do you just, like...
No, I just pretty much sat there and listened to their instrumental riff playing.
Mm.
And I just kind of matched what I thought to the sound. And then
wow,
I get better.
Natural.
Yeah, I'm better now at, like, fills.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, it's fun. So you got to scratch that itch.
Yeah.
Creative itch.
Any way you can.
Yeah.
Well, that's good, man. I'm glad you're...
I also started skateboarding.
Really?
Yeah, ollied over a cone yesterday.
Jerry Seinfeld, I've heard him say, you know, sometimes those young skateboarding kids get a bad rap, but they're literally trying over and over to master something, and then when they don't, they fall on the ground, they hurt themselves, they get back up, and then they try it again.
Try.
Yeah, until they do. And then he said, like, whenever I see one of those skateboard kids, I'm like, that kid's gonna be all right. Because it's literally just like, you gotta work until you master it.
Yeah, I started doing that because...
I cannot. Skateboard.
Well, I miss, like, trying really hard at a sport.
Right.
So, like, I just literally did that for years and got it taken away. Like, I can go play basketball, but we're not, like, competing at a high level.
Pretend like you are.
Yeah, but we're just fucking around. Or if I'm going to kick, like, I like to feel that want to better myself, just to get better at something.
Well, that's good. I don't have that.
Yeah, I guess it's good. My roommate got me into that, too.
So you literally just wanted to be good at something, kind of? Or, like, you wanted to try hard at something?
Like, the practice.
Yeah.
Going to the practice.
Like, I can't start from scratch at anything now.
Well, I mean, I bought my first skateboard last summer, and I was just skating around. I didn't really mess with it. But this summer, I picked it up, and I really tried hard at it. It's therapeutic.
Yeah?
You get something, you feel great.
Yeah.
When you first hit something.
Yeah, you try, and you get
it. I landed a shove it for the first time.
No way.
Yeah. And in front side 180. I only landed once, but
I don't know what that is. I only know what a shove it is.
Front side 180s.
Oh.
Yeah.
Just like on flat surface? You just jump and turn?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's in like an ollie, but you turn.
Huh. That's why you turned away from the mic.
Yeah, sorry.
That's okay. The shove it's hard, isn't it?
No, it's one of the more basic ones.
I know. Compared to an ollie, though, it's harder, right?
Yeah,
I can't even do that. I can't even stand on the skateboard.
My goal is to grind. I want to grind before the summer's done, or at least before the fall's done.
You just find a girl, go to a club. Hey! I was sitting right there. I could not do it.
Yeah.
So what was the hardest part about moving back in? parents, or was it just like just being here? Independence?
It wasn't difficult. I mean, it didn't like bother me that much.
That's good. It's a
pretty like a big trend right now for people our age to move back home.
Yeah.
So I mean, I didn't feel like, oh man, I could.
You're missing out on anything.
I'd rather be financially sound than.
Did you ever think like, why not try to not be financially sound for a few years and go like to LA and and then if I fucking fail, just come back? Because I kind of.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
You got me thinking.
Because now I'm like, well, now I can't do that.
Why not?
Because now it's too late.
Why is it too late?
I'm saying I wish I just like right after college went and tried with no money. And then
I want just like, so, did you hear Scott Chablin?
Yes, of course.
Good for him. Mm-hmm. I saw him at Tavern 5. Great bar, by the way.
Is it? New bar in our town. Scott Chablin, who is episode 5 on this podcast, was just on Comedy Central for the first time.
It's awesome.
Roast battle that Jeff Ross is kind of.
And I saw Johnny Wallach. You remember him?
Yeah.
Johnny
he lives Wallach. Two houses down from me.
Of course.
Scott I saw him there. House next to me.
He was working on a movie by Fox.
Yeah. He was working for Survivor. I gotta interview him too.
You should. He said he did just that actually. He moved out to California, slept on someone's floor.
I know, yeah.
And just got a job. So
that's the way you gotta do it, man. What the fuck am I doing here right now?
You could do it in New York.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm trying to do.
Isn't it harder? Is it harder?
I mean, yeah, there's less time. I mean, yeah. It's less there's less entertainment jobs. I mean, there you can do it, but if you wanna really have a good shot at it, you go out to.
Is that real? Is that just like the feeling, or is that?
I mean, there's just more opportunities out there than there are here. Like a lot of like Nickelodeon, per se.
Mm-hmm.
Like all their production stuff is out there, and here their marketing is here.
So their business is here. Business.
So I have a friend who works for Nickelodeon who writes some of the commercials for Nickelodeon shows. That does
like
here.
Promos.
Yeah.
Okay.
And like he can try to like eventually like pivot to like a production end of things. So like there are opportunities out here to then go somewhere else. But I mean, if you want to work in television, probably should be out and out.
In my opinion, television is dying art.
Really?
I think television's going to be like cable television is going to be like dial up.
Oh, you think not a dying art, but maybe a dying platform?
Medium platform. Yeah. Excuse me.
So eventually all TV you're saying is just going to be on the internet.
Internet, apps, Netflix. It's going to be instead of like direct TV.
They'll still have streaming television, live television though. I don't think that'll ever go away.
Yeah.
Because
well, what
watch this
I
game
think Twitter's do, they're broadcasting a game live.
I don't like how many people are doing different things.
It's
like
gotta
just
be central
do
layers.
Your thing.
Yeah.
Like Instagram just came out with like the story thing. So it's like a Snap story, but now they have Instagram stories. Like no, like that was Snapchat's thing. I don't like this.
They're trying to grow though. They're trying
now
to...
Snapchat's is like gonna coexist? Is it like Panda Express and Ocean Oil Beach Bowl? Like
I'm not familiar.
They're just two of the same thing. That's from Knocked Up when they make they have the website idea where it tells people how far
the naked.
Yeah. And then they find out there's a whole other website like that called Mr. Skin. Yeah. And they're like, we could just coexist. A lot of things coexist together. And they said Panda Express, Ocean Oil Beach Bowl.
Oh, okay.
It's like two things. I've never heard of Ocean. I probably am not even saying that correctly, but.
Probably some Californian thing.
Mm.
I don't like the whole laid back attitude of that state.
Yeah.
Never experienced it, so I can't really say.
That's a thing that, I mean, it's laid back, but it's pretentious. It's like a relaxed, It's like a,
I knew some people from college who were from California, and they said that, like, the day doesn't really start till 10 a.m.
Yeah, why is that?
It's more laid back.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of jeans being worn.
Oh, in L.A.?
A lot more jeans.
In L.A., it's like a sin to wear shorts, which is terrible because it's so goddamn hot.
Really?
There.
You can't wear
everyone
shorts?
Everyone wears pants.
I'm wearing shorts. I'm wearing short shorts when I go out there.
It's crazy. No one is in shorts.
So when people say it's hot,
But it's a...
It's a dry heat. What the fuck does that mean?
I mean, it doesn't... You know what? You feel like sticky and you feel gross.
It's the only heat I know.
Yeah, well, it's like just... It's hot, but it's not like...
So what's a dry heat? It's just hot?
It's just hot. It's
but,
not
but
like...
But do you... So if I'm walking down the street, am I going to break
feel,
a sweat?
You Yeah. I mean, but I walked in jeans and it wasn't bad and it's like not... You can feel in the air when it's like heavy in
yeah.
the air here.
Right.
It's not like that there.
So Joe from high school, big high school Joe.
I would have died over there. I would have died over there. Big high school Joe.
So he's sweating like if you were to walk from here to Quick Check.
Swamp ass Joe.
So he's breaking a sweat?
Oh, yeah.
All right, so dry heat's bullshit in my book.
But everyone doesn't care. Well, it's all dry heat, but it's still 95 degrees. Like, but then there's times where it's 75 and it's just, oh, it's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, the weather's nice.
Hmm.
I thought about moving out there.
We should do it. Let's just go right now. Let's just stop the podcast, pack up our stuff.
I got a dog. I got to take care of Leo. Shouts to Leo.
You have Leo the dog. How is Leo? How old is Leo?
Leo just turned one in April.
Dog named after Leonardo DiCaprio or just...
And Da Vinci.
Both?
Mm-hmm.
Was it...
Mostly Leo DiCaprio.
Did you name
my
it?
Hero. I named him, yeah.
He's your hero.
Leo DiCaprio?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah. He's the man.
Yeah, I like him too.
Except I don't think he deserved the award he got for The Revenant.
It was a career award. It was, we should have given you this before.
Yeah, but that doesn't count. It's for this time here.
Who, well, did
it's
you see all four other movies and thought there was a better performance?
No.
Did you see Michael Fassbender and Steve Jobs?
That movie Eddie sucked.
Movie sucked.
I hated that movie.
Did you see Eddie Redmayne in The Danish Girl? Did you see Matt Damon in The Martian?
I saw that.
Did you see, what was the other one?
I thought that was good.
Yeah.
I don't know if it would have beat that. I guess, all right. I guess he deserved it. But I'm just saying wasn't his best movie.
It wasn't his best movie, but I thought it was still the best performance of the year.
Got my heart racing when he got tackled by that.
That was one of the craziest scenes of any movie.
I was like, I couldn't.
Seen.
It was like the only scene I think I've seen in my lifetime that I had to like kind of cringe and
like
look
away.
Away. And I watched it on bootleg.
Really?
Yeah. So the quality sucked, but I still was like, holy shit.
I saw it in IMAX. It was crazy. It was crazy.
I would have seized.
It was ridiculous. That whole movie, too, just in IMAX was, oh my God.
I got to see it on good quality.
Yeah.
So what else? You got any more questions for me?
Well, we're at 50 minutes, which is, yeah, I usually do 50 to 60.
Okay.
50 to 60 minutes. But what are some of your hopes for the future, Kevin?
I don't know. Just worried about the present me.
You don't seem like a plan guy.
I don't have myself figured out yet.
What's that about?
I don't know. I have to take my spiritual journey.
Yeah.
And sleep in the woods for the weekend.
Maybe some hallucinogenics.
I don't know. I want to own a business one day.
Yeah. What kind of business?
And then roll that up to a couple of businesses.
What kind of business?
Buy and sell. Make them better. Small businesses.
You can't give. You can't get details.
Like a bar.
Yeah.
A store.
Have you heard of my bomblets idea?
Omelets?
Bomblets.
Bomblets?
Yeah. It's like omelets, but Chipotle style. Meaning like every... Not like...
I wouldn't broadcast that. That's a pretty good idea.
I have it patented.
No, do you?
Yeah.
Really?
So you can fucking try. No, I don't have patent, but I have it copyrighted.
You do?
Yeah.
Good. Good for you. Because have you heard of Blaze Pizza? They took that idea, but for pizza.
Oh, it's like make your own pizza kind of?
It's Chipotle, but for pizza.
So like all the ingredients are in front of you.
Right. I've never been, but my coworkers go all the time. They love it.
Wow. Yeah. But the food industry, and that's like such a hassle.
I watch a lot of John Taffer, though.
Bar Rescue.
I know you don't like reality television.
It's some of it's better than other, but we watch that at school because my friends made me.
My other roommate.
Yeah.
Talking about my roommates a lot, but his dad's a fireman.
Right.
In New York City.
No way.
And he knew the one bar that he redid with the fireman. And he spoke with them. He's like, "How much of it's real?" And he said, "It's all real." So
it's all real.
Yeah. So I mean,
wow, no way.
Take that as you. I mean, they're real businesses because I call.
Well, I know it's real businesses, but I just think some of like the petty like fights in between are a little contrived.
I don't know. I think people could snap like that if they're like about to lose their business and there's a camera in their face.
That's true.
And this guy's yelling at him, saying they fucked up. You're a failure.
Yeah, he's harsh, man.
He's great. Oh, wait. I got to show you.
Show me what?
Oh, shit. No, I had his book.
You have his book?
I read it cover to cover.
He wrote a book?
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic.
Why did he write it? What was it about?
Just about the bar business and what to do.
Oh, that's good, at least. What do you mean you have to have your... You got to figure yourself out. Do you feel like you don't have a good grip? You have a girlfriend. How do you have a girlfriend but not have yourself figured out? Who's the girl?
Her name is Carly.
How's she? Did you meet her in school?
I met her in Boston, yeah. She was graduated when I met her.
She didn't go to Emmanuel?
She did, but she graduated. I didn't know her while I was at Emmanuel.
How do you have a girlfriend but not have yourself figured out? How can you do that? How can you worry about someone else when you can't worry about yourself?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I guess you're just a selfless person.
No, I don't know. I got to think about it. It's a big life question.
Yeah.
I'll get there, though. We'll look back on this interview in like 20 years and be like, holy shit.
Yeah.
This is where he started.
I have trouble with that because I don't, you know, when this is the thing that pissed me off the most from being back college, or just not that, I mean, I feel bad because your parents just asked me that, but like everyone asking like what you're doing now.
What are you doing? Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. So like, I feel like that's having a girlfriend is that. Like, what are you doing? It's like, I don't know. Like, why? I don't know what I'm doing. So like, how can I worry about like what you're doing? Like, you know what I'm saying?
She's cool though. She doesn't,
But I guess I'm just an idiot too, so.
It's mostly that.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Probably just making excuses for the fact that I can't love another person. She's cool though. What does she do?
She's about to be unemployed, so I'm winning there.
Mm.
But she works at Fenway Park.
Fenway Pack.
Yeah.
Why is she about to be unemployed?
She wants to go out to school. She's moving home from Boston.
Oh, where'd she live?
Currently?
No, where is she moving home?
Connecticut.
Oh, yeah, we're in Connecticut. I went to school there, as you know.
Derby?
Oh, I've heard of that.
Yeah. Milford, have you heard of Milford?
Yeah, there's good bars.
Bars in Milford.
And Derby, yeah.
It's a little so strange. I shouldn't say anything.
I could take that part out.
She's going to hear it.
So, all right, so bar, no, but no other hopes for the future.
I don't know. Hopefully, we'll make another video soon.
Yeah,
I've really been.
Should write more.
Yeah, I write time to time. I did it more when, like last summer. I haven't done it since probably the winter. Mm. I have time. I come home and drum, skate.
Want to go show me how to drum?
If you want.
I want to hear what kind of beats do you do.
I'm not very good. But I'm just like, it's kind of basic, like bass, snare, bass, snare, bass, bass, snare, bass, bass, snare.
Is that how it goes?
Yeah, so, I don't know, just, I can kind of do like,
that's good. I think that sounded good.
Yeah.
What was it again?
I don't know, going on all the toms. What do you call them?
Toms.
Toms, yeah.
Tom?
And
Tom,
then the bass.
Tom. What movie have you seen recently? Let's end with this. Do you watch Thrones?
The Night of.
The Night of.
You watched?
I haven't seen the most recent episode.
God damn it. Good show.
Great
show.
People
at HBO know what they're doing.
Do they,
except
though?
For Game of Thrones, because that show fucking sucks.
Wow, we need to end.
No, because here's what it is.
All right.
It's like a half hour of something interesting.
Game of Thrones?
Yeah. No, let me rephrase that. Most of the show is eye candy, right? A lot of naked women.
No.
A lot of stupid, a lot of useless scenes, a lot of drawn out talking.
No.
The fake British accent. Lord of the North.
Every single person in the show is actually British except for Tyrion Lannister, who is Peter Dinklage, who was born in New Jersey.
But in the show, they're not. But how? I just don't.
How are
I don't
they
like
British?
Fantasy. Yeah.
You don't like fantasy? You
I
think
don't
it's
like
fantasy.
It's stupid.
Well, let me ask you this question.
That and Lord of the Rings.
Let me ask you a question.
What's up?
Who? What type of thing wrote the Game of Thrones books?
What do you mean, what type of thing?
Like, what wrote them?
A person.
Right. Where's the person from?
I'm assuming he's from Britain.
No, I mean, like, where's he from? This world, right?
Right.
The real world.
Right.
What do you think he draws from when he writes the fantasy?
The real world, probably.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care.
So
for
do you
it.
Think there's things that we could learn from
Absolutely
fantasy?
Absolutely not. I think what we should do is
that are influenced from
burn all of his books. And I just don't like it.
Lord of the Rings. He wrote a lot of stuff that he got from World War One, because the guy J.R.R. Tolkien was served in World War One, and a lot of the industrialization of America had to do with, like, a lot of the things, and the ring being absolute power and the quest for power and, like, all that stuff, man. It's real.
I still hate that movie.
All right. Well,
the series is just a waste of time.
It's not a waste of time. There isn't.
I know other people who don't like, I was about to say Lord of the
Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
I know people too. People who are dumb. No, I'm just kidding. People who think it's tedious, like you said.
It is tedious. It's like an hour and like I gave it. And I'm saying this. I gave it a season. I gave it
thrilling.
The full season.
I'm like, but since I've done my last podcast, I started reading the books, and I'm almost done with the third one.
Waste of time.
It's not a waste of time.
It's good book I read last summer.
Yeah.
Are you familiar
I'm just burping
with
into the
F. Scott Fitzgerald?
F. Scott?
F. Scott, baby.
Great Gatsby is my favorite book.
Oh, no.
You don't like Great Gatsby?
No, it's a good book.
As normal as that is, or as cliche as it is to say that Great Gatsby is your favorite book.
No, actually, I like this one better.
What is it?
I think this is, No, this isn't it.
This side of...
You can edit this part out.
This side of paradise?
No, that one's not. I don't really like that one. Oh, here it is.
Can I have it?
Damn.
Can I read it?
This is great.
Can I borrow it?
Yeah. This is great. This book, I was reading through most of it.
The Beautiful and the Damned. I've heard of this.
I was reading through most of it, and I was like, this book fucking sucks.
Yeah.
Nothing. I don't want to give it. If you're gonna read, I don't want to give it away too much. But by the end, he makes it just like kind of hits you, and you're like, "Wow, that was kind of
genius."
Yeah. This guy, he's got like
that's just F. Scott doing what he does, man.
Yeah, he's got. I think he wrote this out when one of his aunt's house. He had an aunt's house for summer, and he went out and wrote a bunch of books. He wrote this too out there. But I went through an F. Scott kick, and this is my favorite. There's like this guy has a bunch of money. He gets this beautiful girl, and he's just like it's deals with when you have everything. What do you do?
Wow!
And like he's got all this money. He ends up like wasting at the bar.
I would like to know at least. I would
he,
like
he has an affair.
No, really.
And like you think some like you think the wife's gonna find out about the affair because the girl is at the apartment.
Wow!
But she comes back. And they win the court case to get his inheritance. And so everything was all right. And when I first put the book down, I was like, this is bullshit. Like, why did I waste my time? And I thought about it. I was like, wow, that's pretty cool.
Why?
It just felt so real.
Yeah.
And it felt like...
like that would have actually...
You really knew the character.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like the way he writes it is... It's just...
Oh,
you know,
it takes writing.
You the way I judge a book is if I keep thinking about it after I read it, like it's a good book because I kept, you know, like
stuck with you, stuck in your craw.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Give it a read. Well, Mr. McMichael, we're at an hour.
Okay.
That went by pretty fast.
Yeah, I don't know if we covered anything interesting, but
it'll be fine. It's good. It's good stuff. It's all good.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Is there anything else I wanted to say? No, I don't think so. Giants, let's go Giants. That's about it.
NYFG.
Yeah.
Exclamation point.
I think they'll be good this year.
Yeah? Victor Cruz, is he coming back? What's his fucking deal?
He's coming back. And Sterling Shepard, Odell Beckham.
We need a running game. You can't win. Yeah, Odell Beckham looks great catching one hand. Wide receivers don't win football games. Offensive line and a fucking running back wins.
The offensive line got better.
Defensive. Yeah, but our offensive line.
Defense got better. I think they have
those
a good shot.
Those tackles are terrible.
They
in
have
the
a
center.
Good shot.
All right, we'll see.
So, yeah.
That's it.
Get the fuck out of my house.
All right, that is it. Thank you to everyone who has listened. Please visit thatmillenniallife.com. If you do not have iTunes, a lot of people ask me that. I don't have an iPhone. I don't have iTunes. How do I see the show? Pretty sure it's on Stitcher, which is the Android app. But if not, you just go on iTunes, and it's also available through blueberry.com, B-L-U-B-R-R-Y, I think, which is the media host that my podcast sits on. Sits in. I don't really know what the correct terminology would be for that, but yeah, do all that. Like my Facebook page, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Leave a rating and review if you thought it was good or bad, I guess, but that would probably hurt my feelings. All right, so yeah, I'll see you guys next week.